really excited about Mark Moreno coming on the broadcast in the middle of the next hour. He heads up the Climate Depot to talk about these leaked documents, the hacked documents. By the way, there's not just the emails. There are the documents, the computer program code, and notes by the programmers hired by the climate scientist. And they're in there in the notes of the program, how to engage in fraud, how to lie, how they're cooking the numbers to show temperatures going up. And they're going, man, this is hard. They're going down. How do we fix this? Well, you do this, you do that. We're going to go over some of the source code today as well. I mean, we have them absolutely caught red-handed. And this is also a great education in how their spin machine works, because now the London Guardian has articles playing the victim. Oh, there's persecution of these wonderful scientists by the horrible demons that hacked these emails. They're being persecuted. They're victims of hate. When you actually read the emails, it's how to get scientists fired, how to get people kicked off of their tenure, how to get people removed, how to persecute scientists that didn't agree with them, how to keep them from getting published, how to keep them from getting research funds, how to secretly behind the scenes threaten peer-reviewed journals not to publish scientists' work, which ruins their careers. They are out there persecuting people and then saying they're being persecuted. It's just too rich. So we're going to be breaking all of that down. On the economy front, the real jobless rate, 17.5% of workers are unemployed. Now, that's CNBC. Why is this so important? Because when even mainline television hacks come out and say that the 10.2% number being put out by the Commerce and Departments of Labor, when even mainstream media says it's actually 17.5, and all the other real economists who are crunching the numbers say it's between 20 and 22, depending on whose numbers you look at. So we got 20% unemployment in this country. That's depression level. And you got the federal government engaging in another mass hoax, telling everybody that, no, it's only 10.2. Also, gold jumps to record as slumping dollar spurs investment demand to an all-time mega high. An all-time mega high of $1,174 an ounce. That is huge. Also, the FBI and Homeland Security reports we covered 6 years ago said that you're going to have a national ID card to have a job, a national ID card to drive your car. It doesn't matter if you just have a driver's license. It's also federalized. There are going to be random lockdowns on highways, on streets, on roads. Shopping malls are going to have metal detectors. Federal Viper teams with federal marshals at the TSA are going to run checkpoints everywhere. It's now happening all over the news today. Star Tribune, Minneapolis Star Tribune, first ever lockdown drills today at Mall of America. We're going to be going over that. Also, the Metro London newspaper reports Britain's back baby limit. Government is moving to depopulate Britain by at least 50%. That's London Telegraph, London Guardian, both reporting on that as if it's a wonderful thing. And in this report, it says a third of Britons would support a law capping the number of children per family to one. Get ready. It's coming here. Taxes for more than one child. And then that gets into all of the climate fraud. Because, look, the climate cultists aren't tree-hugging liberals. I want to make this clear. They actually could care less about the environment. They believe they're going to become gods with high-tech systems. They don't care about true environmental threats like genetic engineering with cross species. I'm going to talk more about this next hour. They hate fellow humans. They want to control life and death. They want to shut your resources off. I want to describe to you exactly who we're dealing with. And these arrogant, swollen, power-tripping scientists are all members of eugenics societies. Every stinking one of them. I can take a top climate scientist who's pushing man-made global warming and calling for global carbon taxes and global carbon ration cards, and I can put their name in after the term sustainability, eugenics, population reduction, and they're always signing letters and writing books and going to conferences. It's a cult. We got a murdering Nazi death cult in control of our society. And people better grow up and realize it. I was right about gold going up. I was right about staged terror attacks. I was right in January about how they were going to have a big flu scare when nobody was talking about it. I was right about how they're taking your baby's blood for 36, almost 37 years at birth and putting it in an international UN database. Now it's mainstream media. I don't make any of this up. Do you understand? We don't have time to screw around and live in denial anymore. And don't roll your eyes out there if you're a new listener and say, this guy's a nut. Listen to me. You better then go prove I'm a nut. Because I know when you try to go disprove what I'm saying, you're going to find out it's even worse than I can even describe to you. Well, he runs the number one website exposing the biggest hoax in history. No doubt it's the biggest. ClimateDepot.com. Mark Moreno runs the website ClimateDepot.com for the Committee for a Constructive Tomorrow. Until spring of 2009, he served as Communications Director for the Republicans on the U.S. Senate Committee on Environment and Public Works. Moreno commenced work for the committee under Senator James Inhofe, who was Majority Chairman of the Committee until 2007 and is now Majority Minority Ranking Member. Moreno is also a former journalist with the Cybercast News Service, CNS, and we are very, very honored to have him on with us, ClimateDepot.com. We got him for one segment. He's got to catch a plane here in a moment. Mark, I don't have words to describe, A, how big these emails and documents are, and B, how outlandish the spin is by the hijackers, the pirates. They're not liberals. They're not idiots. They're not fools. They're not misguided souls. They know it's all a fraud. And as you said during the break when I was talking to you, their ship is sinking. The Titanic sinking and the band still playing. Criminal investigations are being called for by Senator Inhofe and others, members of Parliament in England. Break down, sir, what we're dealing with here. Good to have you with us.
Thank you, Alex. Thank you for having me on. Well, first of all, I've seen this before. I did an Amazon rainforest documentary in 2000. And the gist of that documentary was that the Amazon rainforest scare was not only vastly overblown, but without scientific foundation. The idea that rainforests were all disappearing, there were predictions that Amazon will be gone by the year 2000. Fast forward to January of this year, the New York Times openly admitting that for every acre of rainforest cut, 50 are growing back, quoting scientists saying maybe it wasn't such an urgent cause. After all, they're calling it the galloping jungle as people leave the rainforest to go live in cities. The forests are reverting to nature. Guess what? Canceled EcoScare. And that was the EcoScare du jour of the 70s, of the late 70s into the 80s, particularly in the early 90s. There were stings, rainforest concerts. And now it looks like we're coming to the at least the beginning of the end, or the rapid disintegration of the man-made global warming fears. The bottom line is, this is the upper echelon of United Nations scientists. Kevin Trenbeth, lead author. Michael Mann, inventor of the hockey stick temperature graph, purportedly shown in the 20th century, unprecedented. Phil Jones, the head of the center in Europe and in England, who's also a top UN scientist. These were the top men conspiring, caught, as they say, caught on tape, caught on email, and caught in documents. And what they're talking about is hiding the decline in temperatures. They're talking about how they openly admitting they don't understand the natural variability in nature, and things like geoengineering would have no impact because, quote, we can't account for what's happening in the climate system, unquote. And they go on and they talk about conspiring to keep fellow scientists who are skeptical and or inconvenient data out of peer-reviewed journals. They openly talk about how they're going to conspire to keep out studies that are inconvenient in the UN process. This is the UN panel that won a Nobel Prize and shared it with Al Gore in 2007. People are already starting to chant, take it back, take it back. This group, and through these And this is manufactured science at its best. It's the best science that we can manufacture, and the United Nations was manufacturing it. This lays waste to the notion peddled by the media and Al Gore that there's a consensus of scientists. If you look at these emails, all they're doing is fretting about all the skeptics, about all the critiques, about all the mistakes they're making and how to spin them, how to cover them up, how to destroy Freedom of Information documents. This is not a pretty picture. But shockingly, and the most shocking point, I'm sorry to filibuster here, Alex. I did work in the Senate, so if you want to...
Do it. We love you.
Okay. The most shocking angle of all this is before this came out last week, this movement was already on its deathbed. And what do I mean by that? Here's what I mean. Peer-reviewed studies showing at least 3 decades more of cooling or no warming. UN scientists in September warning UN meetings of the potential for decades of global cooling ahead. We had other peer-reviewed studies showing the CO2 forcing nowhere near what the UN has said. Multiple peer-reviewed studies kept coming out. More and more scientists were descending. The ultimate pinnacle of the collapse of man-made global warming fears was when President Barack Obama announced that nothing was going to happen at this UN conference. This prompted European lefty socialists in Der Spiegel and other places to attack Obama as the next George W. Bush. Not only that, in the U.S., global warming was so bad in such a moribund state that Senator Al Franken was bailing out on the climate bill. It was so bad that former John McCain aides were stunned at his about-face on global warming, despite having sponsored 2 global warming bills.
Well, let me ask you this, though. Are we going to see Newt Gingrich and these other people that call themselves Republicans but are really globalists? Are we going to see Newt Gingrich, who's always pushing man-made climate change and global tax? Are we going to see him apologize like George Monbiot, the socialist, has done, now saying we've got to look at the evidence?
Well, very good point. I don't know about Gingrich yet, but I will tell you this. Charlie Crist, the governor of Florida, the Republican Al Gore, who used to appear with Sheryl Crow, is now running from global warming. He now says cap and trade is a tax. He is backing away. Most shockingly, Tim Pawlenty, who had actually wrapped himself in the mantle of the politically correct global warming cause for Republicans, is now questioning the science and is being attacked by the same people he made friends with. He is now a skeptic. Almost all of the Minnesota governor candidates in the GOP, skeptics of global warming. Almost all the Illinois candidates, skeptics of global warming. This is a sea change. And you know why? The public, Tea Party, and the town halls. More, as of late October, more Americans believe in haunted houses than man-made global warming.
Oh, Mark, that's another point. I wanted to go over a few of the frauds. Al Gore put out the fake graph, as you know and have documented. He's now had to remove it, showing carbon dioxide rising with temperature when it actually follows hundreds of years after. That's official. Ice Core, all the major universities. They've been caught lying. But I want you to cover that. But also, they've been caught lying and saying all scientists agree. The science is in. No one disagrees. That hoax has imploded. Didn't this really start backfiring on them the last few years because their lies only got bigger and more arrogant and more ridiculous, and they started calling Al Gore a prophet?
Well, yes, that was Oprah Winfrey called him the Noah of our time. Well, here's the deal. Al, when you said the lies got so outrageous, here's a common pat answer Al Gore likes to say. The same people who deny the man-made global warming are the same people who think the moon landing was staged in a movie lot. Oh, really, Mr. Vice President? How come 2 of the moonwalkers themselves, Jack Smith and Buzz Aldrin, have come out as huge global warming skeptics? They don't even check their throwaway talking points at this point. It's so bad.
And by the way, we've had both of them on here repeating what you just said, but go ahead.
Well, on almost every point from Al Gore's film, from the high point of global warming hysteria in 2006, has been mockingly a cruel joke on Al Gore. Whether it's Mount Kilimanjaro, which he did, which he tried to highlight, is not being reduced because of global warming. It's because of deforestation at the base. He talked about rising sea level. Guess what? One scientist put it the best. If sea level's rising due to global warming, no one's told sea level. And the Meteorological Institute has said there's no acceleration in sea level. From A to Z, the Arctic has gained in the summer the size of 1.5 Texases since 2007. The Antarctic had the record sea ice extent for the summer that they've ever had since satellite monitoring began in the 70s. Greenland has cooled since 1940 when asked before, after 80% of CO2 went in the atmosphere. On almost every point you can mention, Al Gore claims there's more tornadoes. Guess what? There are smaller tornadoes are detected, but because we have Doppler and radar, we didn't have 10, 20, 30 years ago. Everything he said is now being turned into a cruel joke on him, and
okay.
Now the public gets it, world leaders are getting it, and now finally the UN is being exposed for what's going on behind the scenes. It's a bunch of partisan activists trying to manufacture science.
Okay, you're right at the heart of the fight against this, so I want to pick your brain here with some quick, important questions. We know that they said global cooling in the 60s, a global tax was needed, and then when that didn't happen, they said, okay, deforestation, we need a global tax, and when that didn't happen, they said man-made global warming. When that didn't happen, now they're calling it climate change. The climate's always changing. We have the seasons. We have decade-long seasons, not just yearly seasons. So, A, what are they going to do now? What's their new scam? A, so I want to cover that in a moment. B, they don't care if we prove the truth. Schwarzenegger's banning and taxing TVs. They're brainwashing kids in every public school in the country. They're teaching us about carbon credits. The governments of the world don't care if it's a fraud. So A, what's going to be their new scam? And B, how do we get them out of the schools? How do we stop their brainwashing? How do we stop the cult, in Al Gore's own words, this new religion of world government worshiping from taking over?
Well, first of all, I'm Schwarzenegger. He is an embarrassment to science. He actually came out in a radio address, I believe it was last spring, and told people they should hang their clothes to air dry to save energy. The same Arnold Schwarzenegger who was commuting to work in the governor's office in a private jet had the audacity to tell Californians we're going to be imposing huge regressive energy taxes on due to man-made global warming fears that they should be air drying their clothes. On the second point, you mentioned global government. People say, oh, well, you're a conspiracy. That's it. No, we use their own words. Al Gore in July, the U.S. climate bill will lead to global governance. Former French President Jacques Chirac, the Kyoto Protocol on global warming, the first step to an authentic global governance. Kate Ban Ki-moon just said we need an equitable global governance in the next climate bill. Those are their words, their quotes, their exact words. Timothy Wirth, the former Democrat senator from Colorado, said it best. Even if we're wrong on the science of global warming, we're still doing right by policy. It's never been about the science. This is a manufactured issue all about politics and an ideology and environmental agenda. You asked me what the next eco-scare. In the first Earth Day, there were fears of global cooling. You had fears of overpopulation, resource scarcity, famine, the oceans turning into a black goo, the Amazon rainforest disappearing. Well, guess what? Right now, people sense that this issue is slipping away from them. In this year and last year, the UK Green Party has come out and said the lack of oxygen is a more serious threat than global warming. In other words, mankind is causing the atmosphere, oxygen, to disappear from the atmosphere. They're already test marketing the next eco scare. More to the point, Lori David, Al Gore's producer, is also test marketing the next eco scare. In the Huffington Post a couple months ago, she wrote, she was presenting information that plastic waste is now in some ways more alarming than man-made global warming. They sense it. They're afraid. Today, on Climate Depot, my website, the head of the UN climate panel, Rajendra Pachauri, who, by the way, I debated at a UN conference in 2006 in Kenya and was so sure of himself that every scientist agreed with him, he is now saying that sustainable living is a, quote, larger problem than man-made global warming.
All right, let me stop you.
The head of the UN is now throwing global warming under the bus. That's how bad it's become.
All right, let me throw this out. You didn't mention, because there's so many, last week the new EU president, Von Rumpy, and we have the clip. In fact, cue it up if we have time. We'll see if he hold over one more second. He probably has to go get that plane. Von Rumpy said the key to world government is the Copenhagen global tax to have global governance. So they're admitting that the heart of their global government tax to these EU bureaucrats and to the Madoffs and to the Kinleys and the Al Gores and the George Soroses, who all own the climate trading companies, they're admitting that the heart of their takeover is this system. And it's just amazing to see this happening and amazing to see this coming out in the open. You say there's a rout happening. I agree, as even the big socialist Mambiot in England, the big cause celeb socialist comes out and says, okay, we got to back away from this. As it implodes, shouldn't we see criminal investigations? Because this is a group trying to cut off resources, trying to, quote, bankrupt the coal companies that would double power prices conservatively in the U.S., as you know, 51% of our power from coal. This is a group that would impoverish and hurt our poorest people, that it would destroy. Top scientists have said it would kill at least a billion people in the next decade in the third world if this was implemented. These are real numbers. Isn't this genocide? We have John P. Holdren writing Eco-Science, the textbook, calling for world population reduction, one-child policies, a planetary regime to enforce it. And now it's come out in the Canadian Free Press. They read the emails. John P. Holdren, White House science czar, is in there saying, ladies and gentlemen, that they need to basically persecute and make fun of people and to shut down debate. So the White House science czar is involved in this. What's your take on that?
Yes, it's the same White House science czar who in 1971 warned of man-made global cooling. John Holdren, I mean, it's amazing that these people get respect. Obama has Energy Secretary Chu, who actually says science is speaking in his ear, and it's the first time in human history that science tells him for certain what the future will be like 100 years from now. Well, Mr. Energy Secretary Chu, you should have a deck of tarot cards on a boardwalk dispensing such nonsense. It does not surprise me at all. These are committed ideological believers in a political movement. And just so your listeners think that this science, I mean, here's Reed Bryson, the father of climatology, who just died last year with activists of the day he died, said you could go outside and spit and have the same effect as doubling CO2 in the atmosphere. And what we're finding in the peer-reviewed studies, in the real-world data analysis, away from the cloistered world of the UN, is that there are hundreds of factors influencing global climate. Everything from tilt of the Earth's axis to clouds, to volcanic eruptions, to water,
the sun,
to methane, ocean cycles, the sun, the solar system. To sit there and say it's a single trace of essential gas in the atmosphere that we exhale from our mouth that's driving climate is now laughable, and even in the scientific community with peer-reviewed studies showing that CO2 is one factor out of hundreds and that you can't even distinguish the impact of rising CO2 from natural variability. So the bottom line is these computer models that you'll hear about, oh, this could happen, this might happen. Ivy League scientists reviewed this, the premier forecasting expert, Scott Armstrong, and said these climate models used by the UN violate the basic principles of forecasting.
But Mark, as you know, it's not just the internal emails saying persecute other scientists, get their funding cut, which is racketeering. It's not just how they admit in the emails they're manipulating the data and the world's really getting colder. Now the actual code has code messages to programmers saying, here's how you cook the data. The very code. Programmers have now gone in to the code that was leaked. It's written for fraud. They're caught red-handed.
What they're finding, and this is a quote from our website, the data handling that the UN was relying on was, quote, completely out of control. Quote, they fudged so much that nothing that came out had any believability. They talk openly about using tricks and statistical things and manipulating data. You know, this is just beginning. This is the death of a thousand cuts. This was a carcass, man-made global warming, that was already dead before this scandal.
But there are other hoaxes they got away with. Will they get away with this hoax, or will it finally fully bring them down?
It will not get away with it. I'll tell you what, this is like the end of every Scooby-Doo episode. After being needlessly scared by ghosts and goblins, they pull the mask off. They pull see who the man behind the curtain was, and he always inevitably says, I would have got away with it without you meddling kids. Well, the UN is probably saying right now, we would have got away with it without those meddling skeptics.
Mark, stay there. I want to say something to you during the break. Stay there. We'll be right back. All right. Mark Moreno is in his car driving to the airport. He agreed to stay with us for the last 5 minutes of this segment. ClimateDepot.com is what he runs. I wanted to talk to him about Lord Mocton saying prosecute the climate criminals, Senator Inhofe, who he worked for, calling for an investigation. But how do we get an investigation of the same people that run the system? But first, here is Von Rumpy, the new head of the empowered EU, calling for global governance through the Copenhagen tax. Here it is.
2009 is also the first year of global governance with the establishment of the G20 in the middle of the financial crisis. The climate conference in Copenhagen is another step towards the global management of our planet. our mission.
Okay.
Our president.
The global management of our planet through the Copenhagen Treaty, global government. Well, I mean, Mark, we're frothing here. We're frothing because
we're talking about a level of control Orwell didn't contemplate. And here's how. German climate advisor proposing a CO2 budget for every man, woman, and child on the planet. International organization, i.e. global governance, would monitor every individual on the planet. This is why Nancy Pelosi went to China and said, we need a complete inventory on every aspect of our lives. This is what's in their mind. This is the end game. It's about arrogant bean counter social engineers in Washington and in Brussels trying to engineer human behavior. This is why Václav Klaus has said, what he calls ambitious environmentalism is the greatest threat to human freedom since the fall of communism. And if you talk about UK's got the same thing, these CO2 ration cards, where the government's going to monitor your car travel, your energy bill, your airline travel, your thermostats in your home. This is, again,
Oregon wants
very much. But this is a big issue. Taxes, everyone's used to paying. They're not used to having the ultimate eco-nanny state.
I mean, it's so over the top that they're this criminal, they're liars consciously, they're nothing but piratical thieves. In closing, what do you think about the criminal investigations being called for by Lord Monckton and many others?
Well, just one note. Everything I just told you are almost direct quotes and exact policies of what they're prescribing. It's not my interpretation. This is what people don't believe you when you tell them this stuff. I go to climate people, I have all this stuff. In chapter verse,
we must stop them. Yes, it's all true. We must stop
investigation. Them. Senator Inhofe, who I had the pleasure to work for, he in 2003 came as chairman of the Environment Committee. He came out against this. He went after the United Nations and went through all the obvious problems they had in terms of that. And he knew it was a political. The name is called the Intergovernmental Panel. Anyone who doesn't think it's political has no clue about the English language or words. They give it away right there. Inhofe is calling for an investigation into this in the Senate. I believe the House members come out this morning and call for an investigation. In the UK, a former chancellor, Lord Lawson, is calling for an investigation. Lord Monckton, the former advisor to Margaret Thatcher, is now calling for an investigation. We have open comparison to Bernie Madoff here. In terms of Lord Monckton, he's actually said bluntly, they are criminals. And he said, fraud is what we know it to be. This is what's happening around the world. And guess what? To my knowledge, ABC, NBC, CBS News, this is not even a story.
No, this just broke. Mark, this just broke. BBC was sent these emails 5 weeks before and refused to cover them. The hackers sent it to them first, and they covered up evidence of a crime. We cover it all in my film, Fall the Republic, on DVD at Infowars.com, the entire climate scam. Go to ClimateDepot.com to find out more. Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. Do you expect this to result in criminal investigations?
Well, here's the deal. Whoever did this, it sounds like they broke the law. They should face criminal investigation.
No, I mean criminal investigation of Al Gore and these people.
Well, hold on. Whoever the person who released this should face whatever they need to. At the same time, we should then have a ticker tape parade for them in New York City for what they did in the service of science by exposing that the emperor has no clothes. And Al Gore and the United Nations now will forevermore be tainted, tarnished, and now we know what they say behind the scenes.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Mark and I were just ranting and frothing because I know the feeling. There's so much documentation, so much evidence of fraud, so much proof. And you're like, look. And then now we have their own emails where the top scientists for the UN are talking to the top scientists in the U.S. and Europe about how to lie and how to persecute scientists and how to fix the data. And in these documents that were released are the computer code of the weather models with the computer programmers explaining to people that may be working on it later, look, this whole thing's a fraud. You got to run all sorts of scams to flip the data. We have videos of the code where it's all described by computer programmers online with the emails, with the code. I mean, this whole thing is red-handed. It's like catching a killer. It's like a murderer shooting somebody at a sports stadium in front of 100,000 people. I mean, they have been caught. It'd be like if a husband choked his wife to death on national television. There's no doubt he did it. There's no doubt they're caught. And Tim Ball, who, by the way, is in my film Fall of the Republic and did an incredible job, was a top climatologist early on, didn't have a political axe, got persecuted. And they talk about how to persecute people. They talk about him bad in the emails. I forgot to tell you, they talk about Mark, who we had on last hour with his FOIA request, trying to get the documents, how to block those documents. I mean, this is incredible. And Dr. Tim Ball is now on with us for the rest of the hour. We're extremely honored to have him. We're going to break here in just a moment. But doctor, how exciting was this? You're like Galileo saying that the Earth orbits the sun, not the sun orbiting the Earth, and now you've been proven right, and that it's premeditated fraud. They weren't just wrong. And you said that all along, because all the other scientists like yourself would do the raw research and say it doesn't add up, and they'd say, shut up. I mean, what is this like for you after all the persecution you've been through?
It's a very sad day, Alex, because it's a sad day for science. It's a sad day for the environment, which we need to care about. People will start to say, now we don't believe anything you tell us. And they have destroyed climate science virtually. And as I've said elsewhere, there is no pleasure in I told you so. But what we've got to do now is hold people responsible and to backtrack on all of the incredibly damaging legislation that's been brought in or proposed on a global scale, both in energy and economies, based upon this false data.
That's why we've got you here today, to not just talk about their fraud, but you told my producer this is only the tip of the iceberg. I want to go over that, but also talk about what do we do now? We have to bring these criminals to justice. They're openly setting up a tyrannical world government to micromanage every facet of our lives. All these top demographers and researchers have said 1 billion people will die within a decade worldwide if they implemented these carbon rationing, energy rationing plans. It will destroy our economy. Shouldn't they be held criminally responsible, as Lord Mocton is saying?
Well, absolutely. The only difficulty will be, of course, that if it's in a UK court, it depends on how the information was obtained. If it was a whistleblower, that is eligible in a British court. But if it was hacked, that would be deemed inadmissible. So all of this evidence would not be entertained. And, of course, we would then be in the same position as I've been in all these years, that I could see what was going on. I knew what was going on, but I didn't have that smoking gun.
And we'll stay there.
We've not only got a smoking gun, but we got an atomic bomb here.
I agree. That's how I likened it, too, as an ICBM of truth yesterday.
Yeah.
But the issue is, they screwed up and admitted it was their emails to the Associated Press. They said, yeah, those are our emails.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, but they're taken out of context. So they should still be admissible. The police need to raid those facilities and get the actual hard drives. We know that'll be admissible, but you know they're in there erasing it all right now.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
I'm going to try to contain myself because there's so many facets of this fraud. And then how the establishment is calling themselves victims. They're now saying in The Guardian that the climate skeptics with these emails are persecuting good scientists when they're in their own emails talking about how they were persecuting people with government power, how they were blocking FOIA requests, how they were destroying scientific debate and blockading people publishing their science. I mean, this is a rigged club of crooks, and we're going to talk about bringing them to criminal justice. Also, research by Dr. Tim Ball in these emails. John P. Holdren, the eugenicist, is all over these emails, helping coordinate things. This is huge. Okay, Dr. Tim Ball,
well,
you've got the...
A few years ago, there were two, in fact, they're both still active, Willie Soon and Sally Baliunas, both at Harvard, And they were doing first-class research. They're both solar physicists, and they were doing first-class research. Now, the key thing was the medieval warm period, and they had to get rid of that because they were saying that the 20th century was warmest ever, when, in fact, just 1,000 years ago, it was even warmer than now. And Soon and Baliunas had extensive research proving it. And so, of course, they had to get rid of the medieval warm period, which they did through the hockey stick and Michael Mann and that scandal, but they had to also denigrate Soon and Baliunas. And there's a series of emails in there which Michael Mann is sending to the group, the CRU gangsters, from John Holdren. And Mann says, John thinks you'll be entertained by this this exercise. And what it was that Holdren had a series of breakfast meetings in which he sent out information ahead of time, and they debated how wrong Soon and Baliunas were and how right Michael Mann was. And of course, Holdren, using that power that he had, and by the way, he was in the Teresa and Carrie Heinz, and we know all about their connections, that he was in that chair at Harvard. And so Baliunas, about a few years ago, she was on some of our advisory committees on the skeptic side, and all of a sudden, we didn't hear from her. We finally contacted her, and she said, look, basically, I've been under attack here. I've got to step aside. And as she also disclosed some of the personal attacks as a woman and as a redhead that were just absolutely outrageous. So this was going on within Harvard, and of course Holdren is very, very proud of what he did.
Let me stop you. Give us details of what she told you, because that's an article that needs to be written to show how they persecuted women and scientists and used intimidation, because they talk about that in some of the other emails, how to intimidate, how to cut funding, how to not let people publish their reports. Let's cover that in a moment. But first, let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
Over and over again, they've been proven that they're lying. They're more polar bears, not less. Polar bears are the best swimmers. They're not drowning. They hunt on ice packs. They're not drifting. They're going to die. They show school kids the Arctic and Antarctic contracting in the summer. They don't explain that it gets big again in the winter. They've been caught lying with the carbon dioxide heat graph, having carbon dioxide coinciding with the heat, not coming after it several hundred years, as you know. Hundreds and hundreds of frauds they've been caught in, but now, before they could deny they were caught or say it was an accident or have a debate about it, now they've been caught red-handed in these emails at the top climate facility, the UN sites, as you know, Dr. Ball, being a top climatologist. How big of an issue is it to have them red-handed in the code, the computer code, with notes on how they do the fraud, and then having them in the emails how they know it's getting colder, but they're going to lie? I mean, is this not the holy grail? You called it an atomic weapon against their lies.
Oh, absolutely. And of course, it isn't just the people, the CRU, the Climatic Research Unit, and Phil Jones. See, now, Phil Jones is the guy who put out that number of temperature increase of 1 degree Fahrenheit, which Gore talks about in his movie. Okay, Jones has consistently refused to disclose how he produced that number. Warwick Hughes wrote to him from Australia the email, and Jones came back and said, we spent 25 years getting these numbers. Why should we share it with you when all you want to do is find something wrong?
And you talk about that in Fall of the Republic. Before this even came out, you pointed at Jones.
Yeah, exactly. Now, but beyond that, Jones, Mann, Keith Briffa, and by the way, the person that really started it all is Tom Wigley. He's the Eminence Grease behind all of this, and I've watched him manipulate and control for 30 years, and he started at the Climatic Research Unit. He's now at NCAR in Boulder, and he's the grandfather. He's the go-to guy when they say, what should we do about this? How should we deal with this? You can see that in the emails. But more important, Alex, is that these people control totally the IPCC. And, of course, the IPCC is the authority that all world governments quote and go to. It's the basis of Kyoto. It's the basis of the Copenhagen thing. It's it's the argument for carbon credits and that whole scam. So it isn't just the scandals within that academic unit. And I've said many times, and I think I said it when I was interviewed by your group, that there's two responsibilities as a scientist. You've got the responsibility in the laboratory. These guys weren't even meeting those responsibilities, as we now know. But when you go public and say that your science is legitimate and should be the basis of policy, there's a whole new set of responsibilities kick in, and they didn't meet those either. In fact, they deliberately thwarted them. So it's on two completely different levels. But the first thing that we got to do is we got to shut down the IPCC. It's got to go.
Absolutely. We have the top scientist interlaced with the UN climate study group, and you also study them individually. They're all globalists. They're all pro-New World Order. They're all socialist. Yep. They all want to cut human resources. They all want one-child policies. This is a very sick group, and studying them separate from the climate debate, studying them, being persecuted by them, you're one of the first people they singled out because as a top climatologist, you were effectively countering them. What type of individuals are these people?
Well, as you said, and by the way, the University of East Anglia, where the CRU is located, and I had the privilege of dealing with Hubert Lam, who's the father of climatology of the modern era. He helped me with my doctoral thesis. I mean, he'd be turning in his grave. But it was set up there, the University of East Anglia, which, by the way, has been complicit in blocking freedom of information requests, as has the United Kingdom Met Office. So this thing permeates through government. But the University of East Anglia was set up under the Harold Wilson socialist government in Britain, and it is considered the most left of all the left-wing universities in Britain. So this was a perfect place for this CRU thing to fester into what it's become. And, of course, the person that there's two sides to it, of course. There's the political side and the science side. Now, the guy that put those two together is our old friend Morris Strong. And, of course, Morris Strong, I think, is hiding out in China right now because the U.S. government want him for his involvement with Kofi Annan in the oil for food in Iraq thing. But Morris Strong was the one set up the United Nations Environment Program. And he made a statement 30 years ago that he said, isn't the problem for the problem for the planet are the industrialized nations. Isn't it our responsibility to get rid of them? And I want your audience to think about, how would you do that? If you consider the industrialized nations like an engine in a car, and that's a very good analogy because fossil fuels and energy are critical to them, how would you go about doing that? You'd say, okay, I can stop the engine by shutting off the energy supply. And as you see that happening and the impacts on energy, but the public would scream right away. We saw that when the fuel prices went up. Everybody's angry immediately. So you really can't do that. But if you say, look, the byproduct, the exhaust of this engine, and you can stop an engine by plugging the exhaust. So if you say, look, the exhaust of this industrialized nations or this car is CO2, and it's destroying the global climate and destroying the planet, then you can point at, oh, this evil industry, this horrible industrial complex, and this whole free market thing, we've just got to shut it down. It's destroying the planet. That's why CO2 became the focus, even though it's an absolute minuscule part of the total complexity that is weather and climate. And of course, Morris Strong set about to do this. Now, in a book called The Cloak of Green by Elaine Dewar, who, by the way, started to write a book praising all the environmentalists in Canada, and as a good journalist, the more she dug, the more she discovered that these people were more corrupt than the corporations they were attacking. And 20% of that book is devoted to Strong. And she said to him, if you've got these ideas, why don't you run for politics? He probably, the only honest statement in his life, said, well, you can't do anything as a politician. He said, I'm going to go to the UN, and there I can get all the money I want and not be accountable to anybody. And that's precisely what he did. He set up with Kofi Annan, and he became the senior advisor, and he set up the United Nations Environment Program, and a subset of that was the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. Now, one of the things, Alex, that to help people understand how these sorts of machinations are done, because Strong was incredibly, I mean, it's like with Gore's movie, you cannot deny it's a superb piece of propaganda. And with Maurice Strong, you cannot deny his talents in persuading people and managing bureaucratic systems. And one of the things through my own experience, I've chaired many boards of commission and commissions of inquiry. And it's a perfect vehicle for the politician because, there's a fight going on and the public are saying, why don't you do something here? Well, the politician said, okay, we'll have a commission. And don't know is that the politicians continue to retain control. First of all, if the media come along... Okay,
well, stay there. Obviously, government funding over institutions, they don't get the funding if they don't give the results that the UN wants. We'll be right back with climatologist Dr. Tim Ball. This is incredible news. Tim Ball is our guest. He's a big part of Fall of the Republic. I'm going to put a plug in here. Until they run out, you get a free Obama Joker T-shirt. And there's four different messages on them. You can pick the T-shirt you want free when you order one copy. I just want to get this film out. People are ready to hear. This film is about the banks, how the elites engineered the climate change fraud for the global tax. And now we have Von Rumpy, the head of the EU, saying this. We have Al Gore and others saying it in the film. Everyone's got to see this. So you want to know about the climate fraud, what's really going on? These are not scientists and the UN just screwing up on accident. This is premeditated. Going back to Dr. Tim Ball, this is a short segment. Sir, yeah. I just want to stress that we can't let this go by the wayside. They've been caught in so many other frauds, but again, they could say that was an accident. This is red-handed, and you were telling me during the break, the tentacles of this go into all of government and the entire power structure, and they're not going to quit just because this fraud came out unless we really get this message out. That's why we're seeing a huge broadcast TV blackout on this.
Oh, absolutely. As I said, the atomic bomb went off, and most of the mainstream media didn't hear it. But just a quick kudo to you, Alex, YouTube 9-minute video, your grasp of the issues in this is really remarkable, and that's been one of the problems because most of the media are not scientists, and one of the things with the public is they're going to have to need a lot of these emails explained. What are they saying? What's the context of this? And, of course, it's why some of the attempts to block what's out there is saying, oh, they're taking it out of context. And they can get away with that, but the minute somebody like myself that knows what's going on, watched it go on, put it in context, it just becomes even more explosive. So, absolutely. And by the way, just back quickly, I was talking about terms of reference. In my own experience, Maurice Strong wrote the terms of reference for the IPCC. And as I said, when I chaired commissions of inquiry, and your audience can think about the Kennedy Commission, and they asked Judge Warren about, well, why didn't you look at the mafia and Dallas connection? He said, oh, it wasn't in my terms of reference. That's how the politicians control. And the first commission I was given, the minister gave me the terms of reference, and I said, Mr. Minister, I can't even begin to look at this, let alone reach some conclusions. And he said, well, that's the way it is. And I said, no, here's the way it is. I'm going to go to the media and say, you're tying my hands on this issue. Well, he obviously decided that that was a bigger problem than trying to tie
my hands. Back, explain to people what minister in the context, because you're talking about lying by omission. They set the parameters of the debate. They say climate change is real. It is bad. It is man-made. And they say the debate is settled.
Because what Maurice Strong did was the first thing is they used the definition of climate change established by the United Nations Environment Program, which says we're only going to look at human causes of climate change. Now, you can't possibly determine what effect humans are having, if any, unless you know how much nature is causing climate change. So by limiting that to IPCC with that definition alone, the second important thing, and there's some other terms of reference, but the other one that's devastating is they put in what's called the summary for policymakers. Now, the group at CRU made sure that the scientists that were advising that summary for policymaker groups, which were mostly politicians, were part of their CRU group. So people like Stephen Schneider, Michael Mann, Phil Jones. But the summary for policymakers, the rules of it are, you write your science or technical report, working group one, you set that aside, then the summary for policymaker groups will write a summary. The summary then is released to the media immediately, which of course, and then it has all of the sensational stuff about, oh, the world's going to fry and this is going to happen. Then the summary goes back to the scientific group with the instructions to make sure that the scientific report says what we've already said in the summary and released to the public. So it's like an executive doing a summary and then telling the employees to find the facts to support the summary. It is that incredible and unbelievable. And if you want the details of that, I'm willing to share that with you, of how Strong did this to control the whole process.
And again, Maury Strong, an admitted eugenicist. We could play YouTube clip after YouTube clip of him on U.S. television 10 years ago, 20, 30 years ago, calling for forced one-child policies, 80% population reduction, drugging of water supply, everything that's in John P. Holdren's textbook, which was then adopted as policy. But I also want to talk, Tim, about the media blockade. How do we run that? And how do we bring these people to justice? Because they're not only engaged in fraud in these emails and the computer code where their weather models are designed for fraud in the programmer's own notes. We have the programmer's own notes. So we need to talk about that and criminal prosecution of these people for persecuting scientists like you. To open the phones up for questions specifically on ClimateGate for climatologist Dr. Tim Ball, top time climatologist. 1-800-259-9231. 1-800-259-9231. For Al Gore, words are one thing, lies. He premeditatedly is making all this money off of this. George Soros is openly funding it. They're saying it's like Holocaust denial. They're talking about in the emails how to persecute people, how to block their papers from being published, which destroys scientists. I mean, civil lawsuits should be immediately filed by the people that have been harmed. This is racketeering. It's powerful institutions and governments in the emails getting together to block FOIA requests so the documents being requested wouldn't be released, because scientists were going, well, your data doesn't match up to what these weather stations said it was. Shut up. We're not going to release it. You're funded by the oil companies. When it's actually a lot of big oil companies financing this, Dutch Royal Shell, BP, all these big money interests are actually behind this. Dr. Tim Ball, I want to get more into the science and whatever issues you want to cover, because you're the brain on this. But I specifically want you to talk about justice, and also by bringing these people to justice, by suing them, by criminal charges. But government is behind this, so they probably won't. We will then further force this out into the open and start getting really aggressive with these people that want to tax us and control us and run our lives. Dr. Tim Ball.
Yeah, well, I couldn't agree more. And by the way, in a recent Newsweek story, Al Gore said facts are not enough. Well, sorry, Al, the facts are enough, and they're not in your favor. But John Coleman, who was the founder of the Weather Channel, there was a rumor around that he was going to bring a lawsuit against Gore, and it would parallel what you've just been talking about, on a charge of fraud. And the grounds was that here Gore had gone out and said that CO2 and carbon, as it's incorrectly called, is a serious problem, and that we've got to get rid of it. We've got to deal with it. And he then turned around and, of course, set up the sale of carbon credits. And therefore, that constitutes fraud because you falsely create the problem and then profit from it. And Gore was involved in this. And by the way, Gore's been involved in not just the climate thing, but you go back to the Club of Rome and the population overpopulation issues, and he chaired the 1994 conference in Cairo on it. But the whole Gore issue of making profit. In 1998, there was a conference, or a meeting, I should say, in the White House with Bill Clinton, Al Gore, Lord Brown of British Petroleum, and of course you see them putting out ads and so on. And then the fourth person was Ken Lay of Enron. And what they were discussing was how to keep the carbon credits market going, because the carbon credits idea came out of an attempt to get the U.S. to sign the Kyoto Treaty. And the U.S. said, "Well, what are you going to give us?" And they said, "What do you want?" We said, "Well, we want some carbon credits for the stuff we're taking out of the air." And the Europeans said, "No." But anyway, Gore kept that going. So Gore profited. Now I think that you could argue that these people, not only the deliberate falsification of records, which I would think in itself is criminal, but also the fact that they use their data to get huge amounts of government funding. And so to falsify applications for government funding, I would think would also be criminal. I mean, the Jones, for example, I think it's $21.6 million alone. And when you look at the U.S., an estimated $70 billion a year going into climate research. In Canada, Environment Canada spent $6.8 billion in 5 years on climate change research, and all of that went to funding.
Well, that's a key point. Let me throw in this piece of evidence. The London Guardian 2 days ago had this headline. In fact, let's pull it up, where the U.N. calls for global policing of technology, and these select committees will decide what technologies are even allowed, what old technologies will be banned or taxed, and then what new technologies will be funded by government. And then we see Al Gore already making hundreds of millions a year just off government grants to little green technology, that's in quotes, companies that he owns or owns a part of. I mean, this is a total hijacking of the economy by these people. There it is. Global body needed to direct green technology. G77 says, London Guardian, developed nations call for UN body to police battle on climate change. I mean, these guys, it's not just the carbon credits or the carbon taxes. It's taxes on beef, televisions, asphalt, more than one child, just literally water. I mean, they're announcing, people think they're under taxes now. Notice right as the banks implode the economy, the very same banks are now financing the green takeover. It's not green. It is neo-feudalism.
Yeah, and it sounds like a small example, but it's a perfect illustration of what you're talking about, Alex. I was just in Alberta at five different farm communities because I've been working with the farmers. They're the ones most directly affected by weather and climate. Prior to my presentation, and it was sort of a dog and pony show, but there was a company selling carbon credits to the farmers. And you say, okay, fine, there's a business opportunity, and you guys are taking advantage of it. That's the way the free market works. And the government have created this opportunity by what they're doing with carbon tax and so on. But when the farmers started to hear from this private company, because one of the farmers said, well, if I tell you that I'm planting this crop or I'm doing that in order to get to sell carbon credits, how are you going to know that I'm being honest about it? Well, the guy just said, well, hang on a minute. He said, first of all, we've got data on every single farm in Western Canada. He said, we know the precise size of your farm. We know the acreage. We know what you planted. We've got access to land titles. We've got access to your whole budget and funding of your farm. And then one farmer popped up and he said, well, you know, I took some of the government money because I'm in forage crops. And they said, oh, you could reduce methane and if you take this money. The next thing he knew, there was a government agent on his farm telling him what he could grow and his crop rotation. So we've already got illustrations of the degree to which this infiltrates down to the individual and the individual.
Let me stop you again, though, and ask you this question, because you're so knowledgeable on all these subjects and you've been in it for decades. Dealing with this, we see the NFL, we see Hollywood, we see News Corp, we see almost every major Fortune 500 company, the oil companies, the banks, all behind this. Green propaganda everywhere. Electric cars, windmills, things that sound great. Advancement. They have a sugar coating on this takeover of things that sound reasonable, but that's all just window dressing. They're not going to stop now because we've caught them in all this fraud. They're going to continue because the entire power structure has admitted that this is the main funding mechanism and regulatory global control for world government, as Maurice Strong and Al Gore and the new head of the UN, the new Ban Ki-moon, the new head of the EU, Von Rumpy. They admit this is the key to their whole world government. They hadn't expected us to be this effective. They thought they'd just call us Holocaust deniers. You know, if you call Obama a socialist, you hate black people, has nothing to do with it. This isn't working anymore. So knowing them, what do you expect them to do? Go to some new crisis? You know, they're now saying the oceans are going to turn into acid. I mean, are they going to say that I mean, what's their new fraud going to be? And how do you see them countering this?
Well, of course, one of the arguments that's coming back is that, well, okay, these guys cook the data, but there's still enough evidence out there that global warming is occurring and that the CO2 is increasing. In fact, there was a report from a government agency just the day before yesterday saying, oh, look, CO2 levels are continuing to rise. Well, yes, so what? The fact is that what caused them to shift from talking about global warming to climate change was that from 2002 on, the temperature started to go down, but the CO2 continued to rise. And we know from the science there is no connection between CO2 and temperature. And one of the things that's happened in the science community here, Alex, is they've completely hijacked the scientific method. Because what happens is that a scientist comes up with a theory which is based on certain assumptions, and then other scientists will challenge that. Notice that it's still Einstein's theory of relativity after 107 years. It's still Darwin's theory of evolution after 150 years, because there's other scientists have a lot of questions that just don't fit. But what happened with what's called the anthropogenic global warming theory was it became a fact almost instantly. And Richard Lindzen at MIT, who's also been in the forefront and of both the charge and the insult and getting the insults, he said a long time ago the consensus was reached before the research was even begun. Now, with Einstein as an example, one of the assumptions that his formula is based on is that nothing can go faster than the speed of light. Well, there are scientists that are saying, look, we're finding things going faster than the speed of light. If that turns out to be true, then Einstein's theory has either got to be rewritten or thrown out. Well, with the anthropogenic global warming, the fundamental assumption is that if CO2 increases in the atmosphere, the temperature will go up. In every single record that we've got for any duration of any time period, the temperature increases before the CO2, not as they assume. And by the way, that assumption's built into their computer models, which is why they are consistently wrong. And I remember in 1991 when they came, Jouzel, the Frenchman, came out with the ice core from Antarctica, which is now Gore's got in his movie. You know, he said, here's the, and in fact, he very cleverly separated the CO2 and the temperature, because when you put them together, you see that the temperature is causing the CO2 to change, not the other way around.
And they knew that, but let me stop you again.
Yeah. Yeah.
About 5 years ago, a University of Chicago historian wrote a book saying the founding fathers were anti-gun. Only 10% of colonial families owned guns. The Second Amendment is not an individual right to keep and bear arms. Then top historians actually went to the church records areas, to the university record areas, and found out it was all a fraud, all made up by the anti-gun lobby funded by the Rockefellers, the usual suspects. Now, so there's academic fraud everywhere when government and the Rockefellers and the UN are involved. That professor lost his tenure and was removed. Okay. Yeah. So shouldn't we see these professors caught lying at bare minimum lose their tenure?
Absolutely. And I fought this, but when I was in the university, you know, there were some of my colleagues doing all sorts of terrible things. And it was just simply a cover up. And, for example, at the University of Guelph, I pointed out 100 years, not one person with tenure has ever been fired. You telling me in 100 years that not one of them did anything that was criminal or wrong? And in university contracts with faculty, there is nearly always what's called a moral turpitude clause. And this is, and I used to joke about it. I said, if I'm going to get fired, I want to be caught naked in my office with 100 female students and get fired for moral turpitude that way. But nobody's ever challenged it. And I suspect when you look at the contracts that these people have with the universities, there's going to be sufficient vehicles by which they can be brought to justice.
Well, bare minimum, I mean, justice says this has to happen because here they are secretly trying to cut people's funding, to persecute, to keep scientists from being published in journals, which destroys their careers.
Yeah.
I mean, they're in the London Guardian today, whining and complaining, calling themselves victims of persecution when they are the persecutor. In fact, here's the article. Leaked emails mark dangerous shift in climate denial strategy. And the article by Mark Lannis is written as if the people that put the emails out are desperate evil frauds, and it accuses all of us who are criticizing them and questioning their I mean, these socialists, these globalists, these eugenicists, they're not liberals. They're a cult of control freaks who love lording over everyone and bossing everybody around and acting like they have all the answers. And to read this article, it's so sick. And now to find out that the BBC, 5 weeks before, was sent these leaked or hacked, however they came out. The media said hacked. I guess they said hacked so they can block their release later. Probably were just leaked. That the BBC wouldn't discuss them. I mean, this is incredible.
Well, and Andrew Rufkin used that argument. He said we wouldn't comment on this because it was leaked documents, but they'd written other stories earlier where stuff was leaked in a story that favored them, and they didn't hesitate to use it. But by the way, what you're talking about with regard to this victim defense, that's the modern thing that's called victimology. And it becomes a standard defense that the person becomes the victim. I mean, it comedians make jokes about it. Is that wonderful thing that the lawyer defending a guy that was on trial for murdering both his parents, and he pleaded for clemency on the grounds that the guy was an orphan. You know, this is the kind of mentality that these people use.
Well, here's one. He hired one of the fanciest criminal lawyers in New York, the guy that on record tried to extort and defraud and blackmail David Letterman. He's doing a victim defense saying David Letterman was mean doing this to his girlfriend, dating her, and that he was just trying to sell him a movie script. I mean, the spin that comes out of these people.
And of course, I like Glenn Beck's classification of them as progressives. And that gets you away from this right wing, left wing, and all of that. And of course, by the way, I refer to the scandals in Scandinavia because should these people now have their Nobel Prizes withdrawn? I mean, certainly Gore and the IPCC got them on the basis of all this false information. And as you know, they were screams at the time about that.
It's the big global money that wants all this. That's why they're giving awards to their pet scientists that push this. That's why we'll never get justice. But here's another issue. Yeah. As you know, in Canada, the U.S., Europe, England, Australia, New Zealand, everywhere, they're brainwashing the kids in school far worse than just we have warming, but that we're all dead and, you know, kids have to commit suicide at 11 when their carbon credits run out, ABC News. You can't make up this how sick these people are. Right. We've got to really go into the schools and say, this is a proven fraud. Stop teaching it.
Yeah. Well, of course, I've been involved in one of the things that I've tried to do in my life, Alex, is I don't think that one has a right to be hypercritical. Obviously, as a human being, you're entitled to your right to your own opinions. But to go public with criticism, unless you're willing to get involved and try to do something about it, I don't think that you should be very cautious. I've been involved in K-12 and through the university. In other words, the whole education system throughout my career. And what triggered it was that I discovered that the colleagues in my department at the university didn't even know what textbooks were being used in the high school. And I said, well, how can you possibly deal with the students, which are your raw material, if you don't know what they know and where they're coming from? So I've dealt with this. A thing called agriculture in the classroom, ag in the classroom, where the teachers, especially in the social studies areas, and their tendency to be left-wing, using that classroom to push their own ideology.
Stay there. All right, we're going to go to your phone calls, Nolan, Don, Gregory, and Niggle in Japan. Let's go to Niggle first. You're on the air with climatologist Dr. Tim Ball, persecuted, one of the most persecuted people out there because he was so dead on with his research and now completely vindicated in spades. Caller in Japan, you're on the air with our guest. Go ahead.
Hello. I just want to say that I don't want to contradict with the cutting of the rainforest too much, but the trees do take hundreds of years to grow, and that when they do get cut down, they don't. The whole ecosystem does get destroyed. There's so many animals that depend on that very ancient.
Yeah, that was last hour's guess. The point is, the globalist Al Gore, actually with Occidental Petroleum, was cutting down rainforest, but using it as a way to get donations for themselves. Clearly, that's more of an environmental threat than carbon dioxide. And genetic engineering, open air, cross species, there are environmental issues. The point is, the groups running all this could care less about that. Dr. Tim Ball.
Well, and of course, one of the things that triggered the increase of cutting of the rainforest was the World Bank giving money to Brazil on condition that they cleared the forest and develop their agriculture to form a good agricultural base to the economy, just as in the U.S. Once they stopped that funding, the level of cutting dropped dramatically.
Again, every time I look, it's the globalists that are actually hurting the earth, and then they create the crisis and then offer the solution.
Yeah, exactly. And not only that, but there was no real measure of how much forest had been cut. And a few Swedish experts said, let's get a measure of this. And it turned out that the numbers given were by accountants at the World Bank who went to the scientists and said, well, how much forest is cut and how much are you going to cut this year? And they said, we don't know. So they made up a number. And it turned out that the number that was in circulation and used by everybody was at least 85% in excess of the actual number.
Yeah, Nagel, I agree with you that destroying old growth needs to be controlled because that's regrowth is different than old growth. But anything else, Niggle?
Yes, I highly recommend seeing rebelswanted.com because there's so much information on there about the environment and the health section is so important.
All right. We appreciate your call, sir. Thank you. Nolan in Texas, going as many calls as possible. Nolan, you're on the air with climatologist Tim Ball.
Dr. Ball, I would like to know, based on these emails that have come out, is there a way that we can draw a line between the UN or any governmental or any globalist bunch and these scientists that show that their funding was predicated on their findings and that the funding was through either the UN or someone controlled by and friendly to their globalist agenda?
Dr. Ball, go ahead.
There really isn't a way of drawing a line because one of the things that Strong did, and unfortunately my own government were deeply involved in this, was that the IPCC, and they kept talking about 2,500 scientists, the majority of them are bureaucrats appointed by their individual governments. And as Lindzen said when he finally resigned from the IPCC, he said these people know nothing about climate. They're simply put on there because they will parrot the government position. And so if there's so much intertwining between these scientists and the UN that, as I said, the only way to really deal with it is to, Nolan, is to shut down the IPCC completely.
Look, and maybe all these guys are creatures of the UN. They pick the universities they want to use because they are giving them the data they want.
It's so intertwined that it's kind of like doing a brain surgery where, you know, the danger of cutting something bad, say, no, sorry, there's nothing I can do about this. We just got to let it run its course. And the course it's got to run is to scrap the IPCC.
Yeah, I mean, the UN is a group of criminals. They're constantly caught in child sex slave rings, money for oil, scams. I mean, it's just a group of degenerate scum. More calls straight ahead. Daryl Rundis to talk about a host of issues in studio with us. And we'll take calls as well while he's with us. I'm going to go over a bunch of news and comment it with Daryl. Coming up, final segment with Dr. Tim Ball. Ladies and gentlemen, we can't just let these internal emails come and go. I mean, we have the code they use in the climatology models where, again, there's notes by the programmers. Here's how you make the fraud work. Here's how you make colder temperatures look higher. Here's how we do it. I mean, that's all. And there's thousands of pages. More and more is being analyzed now. It's getting worse by the minute. And imagine if other people inside institutions start leaking stuff. I mean, this could really bring them down, couldn't it, Doctor?
Oh, absolutely. And of course, as I said, this core at the CRU, and that's why I think it was hacked, or at least I think that it's a whistleblower, because I think somebody inside, and there are some comments in some of the emails saying, you know, should we really be doing this? Isn't this going a bit too far? So clearly there were some people in there with a little bit of conscience, and I suspect that one of them saw Copenhagen looming and these things being completely globally institutionalized said, no, I've got to get this stuff out there. So
because I've talked to a lot of environmentalists. They go, okay, carbon dioxide isn't bad, but we've got to do this to develop new technologies. We've got to lie. And I think a lot of them are going, man, global government run by Ken Lay, who set this up. What?
He's the reason that partially the reason, the main reason, actually, you could argue that California is in such trouble. Because he talked them into all their energy policies. That's a great part of the difficulty.
Let's take another call. Don in Ohio, you're on the air with Dr. Tim Ball. Go ahead.
Is there a possible correlation between the timeline of Jay Rockefeller stating the Internet should never have existed and when the BBC first got the information that their climate info was hacked and they refused to talk about it?
You know, that did happen around the same time.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. And of course, what we're seeing here is the value of the Internet, because up until that really came on the scene, information, which we've always known was power, was initially controlled by the monarchies and so on. And then, of course, the establishment of the U.S. and democracy and the whole Fathers of Confederation saying, no, everything's got to be available to everybody and everybody's got to have some input to it. But that really didn't materialize until the Internet came out there. And it's really the true democratization of information.
Yes.
And so Rockefeller realized that and realized how important it was to control it. I agree.
And they're now announcing they plan to incrementally shut it down. Anything else, Don?
We know exactly what day it was released to the BBC, and they refused it.
About six weeks ago.
September the 12th, I believe, was the date.
When?
I stand to be corrected on that, but I believe that was date. You could check on Climate Depot, D-E-P-O-T, Climate Depot with Mark Morano. He's got the date on there on that story.
They say 5 weeks ago, so that's about 6 weeks ago now.
Yeah.
Rumors of this were floating around Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Then it was confirmed Friday, because I remember seeing blurbs. This stuff's been hacked. We were like, is this real? And then I just want to salute the people that got this out, whether they're hackers or leakers. Gregory in Indiana, you got about 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Thanks, Alex. Thanks, Alex, for taking my call. I just got a question for Dr. Ball. If these guys were to get charged, where would the jurisdiction be, in the courts? Would it be in the U.S. or in Brussels in the international court.
Well, we don't want the UN doing it. It'd be local law.
It occurred in the UK, and but some of the people involved are outside of the UK. Michael Mann, for example, is at Penn State, and somebody said it should be State Penn, but he's in the U.S. So, yeah, possibly, and certainly because of the involvement of the United Nations making it global, maybe the World Court is the venue. But the difficulty is the World Court hasn't got a particularly good track record either.
Yeah, they're run by the same people.
Yeah.
Dr. Tim Ball, I want to get you back up again in the next few weeks. Have a great weekend coming up, a great Thanksgiving. God bless you for your courage in the face of these criminals. You have come out smelling like a rose. We salute your courage.
Thank you, Alex, and thank you for the opportunity to get my word out.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, we just had the head of the Climate Depot on. We had Dr. Tim Ball, climatologist, persecuted by the globalist on. I want people to understand that it isn't just scientists engaged in fraud to get a global tax and global government. These are people that openly want one-child policies, that openly want to drug your water supply in their own statements. I mean, this is mainstream news. These are John P. Holdren's involved in all this. These are people who are hellishly evil. They want world government. Al Gore now says it's a global religion. He didn't invent this. The UN said decades ago it's going to be a global Gaia religion and that this is all happening. We cover it in Fall of the Republic. This film covers the bankers, the New World Order structure, how they're using the carbon tax, environmental takeover, and the police state. This film is so important. Dr. Tim Ball is in it. So many others. Get the DVD at InfoWars.com. And until these T-shirts run out, they're running out fast, we have four different designs in black and white of the Obama Joker poster shirt, and when they're sold out, that's the end of the special, probably a week or two till they sell out. The point is, you order Fall of the Republic, you get a free Obama Joker T-shirt. Free. There's banners on InfoWars.com, on PrisonPlanet.com. Go to the shopping cart, click on the T-shirt section, Fall of the Republic section. You can find those discounts and specials. I just want to get this film out. I want you to make copies, have viewing parties, say, oh, you heard about the climate fraud. Here's the rest of the story, Fall of the Republic. You can also call toll-free and tell them it's the free T-shirt, Fall of the Republic special, 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139. And also one more special. Until Christmas, we've got 5 months free for people when they join PrisonPlanet.tv, and that also funds our operation. All my films in high quality, my book, Paul Watson's book, extra expanded pieces from films, the extras from films that aren't available on the DVD, so much at PrisonPlanet.tv, the simulcast of the radio show for members, the archives of that, commercial-free radio archives, video archives, PrisonPlanet.tv, 5 months free right now. Now, Daryl Rundis, I said, come down here, because I like Daryl. I like his attitude, his whole worldview. He's a good guy. But I wanted to get him down here a few weeks ago because he tries to hand out on public sidewalks in Dallas religious Christian tracts. And even if you hate Christians, I'm a Christian. I like real Christians. I know it's real Christians that ended slavery, real Christians that fight tyranny, real Christians that are really out there on the front lines. I see their fruits. And I'm a Christian, brought up a Christian, a Baptist. But even if you're a Buddhist or an atheist or whatever you are, you should support their free speech. And I've noticed that governments support the free speech of every other group but Christians. And they particularly, I mean, I've got video in my film, Martial Law, that YouTube banned, saying it was too intense. That video is banned, or you have to put in the, you know, that you're 18 and log in to see it. But it's banned from the main YouTube site, where they take Christians sitting on sidewalks and break their arms, and the federal judge said, we're allowed to torture in America. It's paying compliance. So forget Abu Ghraib. Forget Camp X-Ray in Guantanamo. I've always seen a special persecution of Christians. Now, the judge has ruled you don't have free speech, and they're ruling all over the country. Travis County right now, it was in the paper, is saying you can't wear political T-shirts saying any message into county commissioner's court. Free speech is being lost. George Bush tried to have free speech zones and so much more. Thousands of lawsuits. When I say thousands, they lost over 1,000 in New York over the RNC, where I saw mainline reporters being arrested for no reason. There is an attack on free speech. And Dallas, of all places, is this Christianoid, a lot of good people, a lot of my family, I'm from there, but there is this fake Christianoid atmosphere in Dallas, and there have been a horrible court ruling. He's going to appeal it, and we're going to talk about the climate situation. We're going to talk about the police state. We're going to talk about, you know, Daryl's a successful stock trader and gold trader and silver trader and commodities guy, and you know, had sold a huge marketing business he had. So I want to get his take on gold, the dollar, where we're going, all of this. But I wanted to have Daryl Rundis first break down this important case in Dallas, which is happening at the state level all over the country, and all these new taxes. I mean, government is just out of control. Daryl, good to have you.
Hey, it's great to be here, Alex. Thanks for having me.
And it's great to meet your wife in person.
Hey, you know, she's definitely the better looking of the two. So that's
you're good looking.
Yeah, but she's way better looking than me. No two ways about it. If she wasn't so shy, we'd get her here on camera. That would be a lot of fun.
She's very sweet.
She is. She's definitely the best thing.
She looks great for just having surgery a few weeks ago.
No, yeah, she's doing good. You know, they do that lithoscopic kind of thing now, so they don't even slice you open for an appendectomy. So got her. She recovered quickly, and we thank God for that. But I got to tell you something. What we're not recovering from in this country is the tyranny. I mean, it's just getting crazy out there. Between this climate bill, right? You got tax and trade. I don't forget cap and trade. It's tax and trade. It's about control. It's about command. I mean, we have every branch of our government, including the free speech and the free press, that fourth leg of government, completely saturated with people that have nothing to do with our best interests.
They hate freedom.
They hate freedom. They hate liberty. They hate justice. I can get no justice in the courts. The common man certainly can. If you have no money, you have no justice in this country.
You have money and still couldn't get justice.
It doesn't even matter. And speaking of money, not only did we lose the case against the state fair where they were clearly threatening us with arrest on public property. You can check out the YouTube video. I mean, it's as clear as day. But then the judge awards unprecedented court cost in the amount of $29,000. Get that. $29,000 for copies of documents that we didn't even ask for. But they ran up a huge bill in hopes they'd win so that then they could chill future free speech cases.
So now in America, you were arrested, you were violated, you fought it, you pay. That's the British system. We didn't have that system here, and they're just doing it with a judge's order. I believe he needs to have a judicial complaint filed on him.
Well, we're doing everything we can, not only in the appeal, but to, you know, get out there in the press, just like coming on your show today, to tell people, look, if it can happen to me, it can happen to you. It can happen to everyone.
Well, let's go back. Let's tell the story of what happened, because I've even seen it in the news. They're persecuting Christians all over Dallas. I mean, you're not in America. You can't go out and share the word with someone.
Look, I got a recorded conversation from the the assistant to the chief of police prior to going out there saying that it's clearly public property. We had every right to be out there to exercise our First Amendment right. Keep in mind, when you're proselytizing religion, you're not just exercising your right to free speech, but also the freedom of the
press. That is the most protected. In the First Amendment, it's doubly, the only thing doubly mentioned.
Well, technically, it's triply protected because it's good news. So it's really an issue of speech and the press and the freedom of worship and religion. And so when you exercise that right to free speech and to go out and do what Christ called all Christians to do.
And that's what, what's the passage in the Bible where Paul says, you know, they had a godliness about them, but not the power.
2 Timothy 4.
I mean, because if you really are tied into the almighty creator who wants justice, you can't control yourself. You've got to go out and fight evil.
Absolutely.
I mean, so these people really aren't Christians. If you're not literally burning, like Ezekiel said, in your bones, like, God, they're going to kill me if I don't shut up, but I can't shut up.
That's why you do what you do, Alex. You've been called to be a watchman on the wall, to warn, to sound the trumpet call to all the people of the city. Hey, tyranny's coming. Evil's coming. They're coming to take our city. They're going to take your kids. They're going to take your wealth. They're going to take everything.
Same stuff that happened 2,000-3,000 years ago is what's happening now.
Absolutely.
Evil doesn't change.
No, evil is evil, and it's permeating not just this country but the entire world. And Christians in particular ought to do what I do and what you do and other Christians that really...
Well, I want you to tell that story, but you're such a great Bible scholar and have such a strong spirit of the Lord in you. Explain to people what that means, because that really hit me last night. I heard a preacher on the radio locally. He has a Juris Dictionary, I think is the name of the show. But he was talking about they have a kind of godliness, but they don't have the power. And I mean, if you don't have the power, you're not really tied into God.
Well, he's talking, and you're referring to 2 Timothy 4, which is a a scripture reference written over 2,000 years ago about the last days, that it'd be terrible times for Christian servants, that because people would be lovers of themselves, which is obvious. In fact, all the way down here, the reason I almost didn't get here on time today is because people will drive in the fast lane 45 miles an hour, and they care nothing about who's behind them or who's
worse. They do it on purpose, enjoying impeding you.
That's it, because it's my road. It's about me. Don't pass me. What are you going to do for me? How are you going to benefit me? Hey, that's enough about me. Let's talk about you. What do you think about me? Right? That's everybody's attitude. It's all about them. And 2 Timothy 4 alludes to that very thing. Lovers of themselves, lovers of money, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power within. In other words, they have this outward appearance. They might wear a cross or a Christian t-shirt, or they might have
real nice.
Oh, they might act nice. But then as soon as they get out of church on Sunday, they're flipping people off and honking the horn and screaming at people and yelling at their kids. There's no outward evidence of an inward conversion. Jesus said you'll know them by their fruit. In fact, Alex, so you'll really get into this. In the last days, in Matthew 24, when Jesus laid out all the warning signs, earthquakes, pestilence, famines, wars, rumors of wars, and so on, he started with one sign, repeated it 10 times. He didn't repeat any other warning sign but this one. Do you know what it was?
No.
Be careful no one deceive you.
Because
great deception will come, that people will be wolves in sheep's clothing, false teachers, false leaders, false witnesses, and so on, over and over again. That's what we see. This big news you just broke, what was it, yesterday or day before, about the climate change scam and fraud, and them admitting behind the scenes that they're fudging the numbers and changing things in order to perpetuate this agenda on the people?
Yeah, we started covering that over the weekend. It broke last week.
Well, it shouldn't surprise any of us. I mean, every time you pull back one more layer of the bureaucracy within this country, you see corruption.
So that's, but I can't believe how bad it is. It boggles my mind. They're this corrupt and they found this many evil people to serve them.
Well, man, I tell you this much. Once again, every aspect of our society has been captured by capitalists. That not the good kind of capitalists who want to empower people to go farther and do more and accomplish more.
The pirates.
Many things. But yeah, pirates and plunderers, people that just come in, they come to kill, steal, and destroy, which is exactly what the Bible said the devil does. So these people don't worship God. No, they worship Satan. And I don't care what label.
Well, look at Sodom and Gomorrah. Of evil. The CPS comes and wants his kids.
You know, it's once again, everywhere we turn. Come on, Alex, they're... Well, we'll get back after the break, but I'll only just come back with this one thought. Every aspect of our lives, we're entangled into a system of tyranny, of injustice, and a lack of liberty.
Yeah, and I've been interrupting with that, but tell us the story of what happened. Absolutely. In Dallas, you cannot stand on a street corner and hand out tracts.
Not unless you want to risk paying $29,000 in court costs.
Because it's land of the free, home of the brave. How did this ever happen to our nation? We'll be right back with Daryl Rundis. I'm Alex Jones. Rundis is in here getting a laugh out of me doing a 4-minute rant on a Dallas radio station.
Nobody does it like you, Alex.
Oh, come on.
Nobody does
it. I've done a couple of these today. It's fun.
I thought I had the gift of gab, but boy, I mean, you just blow it all away. I mean, there is no comparison. You're in a league.
Oh, stop it, Rundis.
You are.
But you know, that's true. That actually makes me even more humble. No, I do a decent job sometime, but it's only because I hate the tyranny. Now, Daryl, this is a short segment, long segment coming up. We're going to take calls, too, and get into a host of issues. Tell the listeners exactly what happened to you in Dallas, Texas, with your First Amendment.
Hey, pure and simple, we went to the Texas State Fair with a few couple hundred people, right, to pass out tracts, talk to people, minister to people, and so on. Got permission from the assistant to the chief of police of Dallas prior to going out there. Recorded conversation.
So even get permission for your First Amendment.
Right. Well, I just wanted to clear the – because if it was just me, no big deal.
No, but you're meek and being nice. And,
yeah, I'm trying to make sure that the true interpretation of Romans 13, you know, that I do submit to authority, that I do show them the respect that they deserve, okay?
Until they start violating the Bill of Rights.
Well, then I got to obey God, not men. When they violate God's law and tell me I can't preach the gospel, just like in China and other places where Christians –
Or in Rome, 1,800 years ago.
Right, exactly. So whatever the case is, it would be nothing new to stand up for God.
Think about this.
Of the tyranny.
What happened 2,000 years ago, 1,800 years ago in Rome is now happening to Daryl Rundis in Dallas.
What's happened not just to Daryl Rundis, but to hundreds and thousands. That's, look, and I don't care if you're a Christian. I don't care, you know, if you're just an activist, you're an atheist, whatever. I believe in free speech. I don't care if you're all for gay and lesbian rights. You know, as a Christian, maybe I don't particularly agree with that, but I would encourage you to exercise your right to free speech. That's what this country would.
But a lot of those groups want to shut down your speech, and that's wrong. Well, finish the story. I just keep marveling.
They're one by one. the Texas State Fair officials round us up. We come back to what's clearly public property outside the gates of the fair, and they threaten to arrest us. We negotiate, we ultimately settle, and we leave. Okay, and then we come back the next year, they do the same thing. So finally, we filed suit against them. And once again, the key thing, and I'm going to just skip fast forward. We lost on the case, and why all our attorneys say that they hit us so hard with all these fees, $29,000. I don't care who you are. 29 grand is a lot of money for making some copies, okay? But the reason the judge enforced this and you know, gave this judgment over to the Texas State Fair and the city of Dallas was because they're making an example out of me to chill other people's First Amendment rights. So if you're out filming, like in Pittsburgh with the whole, you know, thing that was going on at the G20 summit, and when they arrested your guys, believe me, even if you, you know, go and fight and it's right and you know you should be vindicated and you lose, they're going to start slapping you with all kinds of fines, penalties, court costs, everything they can think of.
Oh, yeah, no. We're spending thousands to fight this right now.
Absolutely.
And Rob Dew, they say, leave the area. He leaves and they block him and say, we're arresting you. And they let the mainstream media go. And they arrest Rob, and they tortured Luke Radowski. The military
That's the level that this country has been degraded to. They don't care about you. They don't care about me. Wake up, America. Wake up, Christians in particular. Stand up for righteousness. Stand up for what's good and what's right. And I mean, I've got people telling me it's okay to tase a 10-year-old. That's just sick, man. Where is this country falling to?
Yeah, notice that why is it all okay now, but it wasn't okay in the past? Now, give out some of the websites where people can read about the court case.
Well, they could probably just pick it up online at Google. If they just type in Daryl Rundis, Texas State Fair, the documents will come up because it's a matter of public record that the judge awarded $29,000. Now, keep in mind, this isn't legal fees, Alex. This isn't money we paid to an attorney. This is just for copies of the documents that we requested when we were doing discovery. When, you know, each attorney has to, exchange what information they have to enter into evidence. So supposedly they made $29,000 worth of copies. I think I got the wrong job, man. I'm going to go work at Kinko's or something. That's great money.
I mean, how big a stack of documents was it?
Just a normal size box. It wasn't that big a deal, but they claimed they had to scan them because they were old documents.
So it was like $100 a page or something?
I don't know. Probably typical government wages of about $200 an hour. Yeah. You know, it has nothing to do with the actual expense or the actual cost. To chill your free speech, my free speech, and anybody else.
What are your lawyers saying you can do? I mean, because you're saying this is precedent setting. Can't you do a judicial complaint on the judge?
Well, we'll do that. We'll file not only the complaint, but we'll file the appeal. And then if we win on appeal, then maybe we can get some of these court costs back. But ultimately, I feel like this is going to go to the Supreme Court, because here's what people don't know. If you look at the back of the ticket, if you go to the Texas State Fair, Alex, you've been to the Texas State Fair?
Yes.
Everybody's been to the Texas State Fair that lives in Texas. It's the biggest fair in the world, okay? But did you know you're allowed to ride the rides and drink the beer and eat the corn dogs, but if you speak about religion or politics, they'll escort you off their property. It's written right on the back of their ticket.
But you were outside, though.
We were at first on inside, because it is Fair Park. That's public property. Our funds built that place. And the Texas State Fair says, oh, we rented it out. That makes it our private property.
But later, you were outside.
Yep, absolutely. And that's when they threatened to arrest us, even though we were doing what they asked us to do.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Boy, Daryl Runnis is quite the singer.
All right, baby.
Son, never mind them brakes. Let it all hang out, because we got a run to make.
And this beer in Texarkana.
All right, we'll quit torturing the listeners. I apologize.
Hey, you got to have this is such a serious job, and you are the point on the tip of the spear.
Tip of the spear.
You know, I coined that phrase for you. You love that, don't you? I know it's very fitting because it's true, but, you know, you got to have some fun. Laughing is still a good medicine, you know? Smiling and having a good time, enjoying the freedoms that we still have left. It's a good thing.
You know, you talked about how they're locking everything down. Mall of the America is going to have lockdown drills while people are in it. And now they're announcing metal detectors for malls. Just everything's turning into a giant prison. You know, a couple hundred thousand die a year of car wrecks, tens of thousands from drowning, a couple dozen from mass shootings. But we've got to give up all our rights to stop the shooters. And then actually locking things down with the cops outside will allow the shooters to kill masses of people.
It's all just a big illusion. They'd spin it with the media to make people afraid. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of sound mind. Think clearly, people. Wake up and see the truth for what it really is. These people are mass illusionists. I mean, how many times have you ever been to a magic show and you swore the guy really levitated, the guy really walked on water, the guy really did these things that you saw with your own two eyes, and you could swear it was true, it was real, it was tangible, it was something you could touch and smell and actually feel. But you know what? It was all just an illusion. And that's really what's going on in this country with the evil empire. The fall of the republic is incrementally being increased over and over, day by day.
Because they know incrementalism is very hard to counter unless we have the long view of history and don't expect instant results. Just do the right thing. Stand up. Don't give up the field. Don't give up. Take action. And that's why last week the House committee passes the bill. They have the 311 votes. It's going to pass the House for an audit of the Fed. The Senate may gut it later, but the idea has started. People know the Federal Reserve is the real power. These climate documents getting leaked. I mean, these are major victories showing our enemies are not invincible.
Well, not just that, but, you know, it's going to vindicate Ron Paul, because so many of his skeptics and critics, they say, oh, Ron Paul, he's never passed any meaningful legislation. His whole time in Congress, he's never really done anything impactful. Well, I tell you something, there's probably nothing, absolutely nothing more impactful we could do than to expose the Fed.
Plus, he's always been there injecting real issues.
Well, just bringing it to the surface, telling people the truth. Look at all those congressional committees where he grills people about the truth, the Bernankes of the world and so on, the Geithners. And at least for the public's sake, can see and reveal the truth so that people may be able to.
Well, see, that's another lie of the government. They say we want politicians that can get things done. What, run the guillotines faster? No, the founders wanted gridlock. They wanted to control government, not let it grow like a cancer. Daryl, I want to go to a bunch of calls and get into other issues, but tell people about 10 and Win. You've now had the contest.
Yeah, Friday the 13th was the date we gave away the $20,000. And get this, you know how many calls it took me? One. Just one call. I'm shocked. If I was a betting man, I would have lost, because I would have told you probably to take 20, 30, 40, 50 calls. But the very first woman, Beth Morse, hello, Beth, if you're listening, on the very first call, named all 10 commandments in 17.5 seconds. She won $20,000. And to answer the two most common questions that I'm asked about this, am I going to do it again? God willing, yeah, next year we'll do it again. I can't say exactly when, but it was successful. It was wonderful. It was fun. It was just such a privilege and an honor and a pleasure to be a blessing to somebody. This woman had multiple sclerosis, had just lost her car. Her husband hadn't worked for 2 years. I mean, we all know Ohio.
Wow, what a blessing for her.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that was the person you randomly called.
Yeah, just, you know, we had a computer generate a name based on the people who had registered in the database, and we did it all live. There's a video. If you'll just go to Prayer Stop at YouTube, or actually just go to thegreatnews.com, and right on the front page you can watch the 10-minute video we did of the call with the winner. It was just such a blessing to even be a part of it. But
I haven't seen the video. Does it start right at the beginning?
It's probably in the middle of the call. I do a little preemptive stuff to tell people.
Guys, cue it up to when he calls her. Cue it up.
Yeah, it'll take about 20 seconds.
Where do people go?
TheGreatNews.com. The video's right on the front page.
You got so many sites. And you've also given us YouDoNews.com. We've been so busy, we haven't really done anything with it. People are uploading videos. They're getting posted. But we're going to be expanding that and using the great site you built for us.
Yeah, and it's going to be powerful. In fact, I believe God's going to use it in a mighty way, Alex, to be that platform, that voice of the people.
We're going to do it. I promise. You built it. You gave it to us. We're so limited on staff and there's stuff going on, and the guys need that 2-hour-long coffee break. So I'm just joking. No. I've actually have to hire somebody just to manage that site alone, because it's going to be such a great site. It is a great site. YouDoNews.com. Fire out some of the other sites.
Well, the brand new thing, that's to answer the second question. Daryl, what are you going to do now? What are you doing next? And the big thing I'm doing now is a brand new ministry that we call Prayer Stop. It's real simple, it's straightforward, a very effective but inexpensive outreach for churches and ministries. I mean, come on, let's think about it. With the economy and all the loss of...
You're the guy that pioneered, you come in and get a free T-shirt or a gift card at the HEB or at the Safeway if they'll sign up for a newspaper.
Right. If you've ever seen a guy in a store, retail or grocery store, at a show, a fair, a festival event, hawking newspapers, trying to get you to sign up for a subscription, give you a free gift card or a T-shirt or, you know, something... in exchange for a new sign up for a subscription. I started that about 20 years ago. And now I'm taking that same concept to the streets. And we're going to set up what we call prayer stops. They're little portable kiosks that people can take wherever they go. They can set them up at bus stops or train stops. They can set them up at the post office out on the crosswalk in front of the school. They may not let people pray in school, but we can set up a prayer stop right on the street corner outside that school and start praying for those kids. Look, the Bible's clear on this. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, I would hear their prayers from heaven and I'd heal their land. So our hope and our faith isn't in politics. We can't trust politics. They're constantly lying and cheating and stealing and manipulating.
But if you change people individually.
That's it. Our hope is in God working in the hearts, minds, and lives of men and women. People, because look, real, true Christians, people like you and me, not false Christians, not pretenders, but contenders, will stand up for righteousness. Like Paul said, they'll have nothing to do with the evil deeds done in darkness. They'll expose them. And that's what good Christians do. They can't stand to be around tyranny. They can't stand evil. They will stand up for what's good and what's true and what's right.
Well, I don't even claim to be a good Christian. I'm actually ashamed of a lot of things I've done, bad thoughts I have and things, but at least I have a conscience. So many other people, I mean, I think being good is just even having a being aware. Well, I mean, most people aren't even concerned.
Well, you're alluding to some more of the end times prophecies where they talked about seared consciences, where people's conscience would just disappear. And finally, they'd be so evil, so wicked that God would finally turn them over to do what ought not to be done. They'd reach a point of no return. They'd hit the edge.
Is that the ultimate sin?
No, that would be the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. It would be the only sin that, according to the Bible, that can't be forgiven.
And what is that?
Well, technically, it's to say, well, I have no belief whatsoever in that Jesus Christ was the Son of God or that the Holy Spirit exists, that power of God, that Spirit of God can indwell men.
But does that only happen if it's coming down on you and then you refuse it?
Well, I don't know. I don't like to get into all that theology and semantics because I'm not God.
So that's pretty heavy stuff, sure. Though.
It is. It's about as deep theological of a thinking as you can probably get. And everybody has their own personal perspectives and views on those kind of things. I know God and Jesus holds the keys to heaven and hell. And, hey, I've surrendered to the foot of that cross. I've said I'm sorry for my sins. I've lied. I've cheated. I've stolen. I've done bad things. I mean, let's face it. We all have a sense of justice. That's why you every day are on air combating the evil and the wickedness and the tyranny in the world. Because
now, what's the Bible passage about if somebody says there is no truth, run from them? I mean, people know there's a truth. People know there's
a... Well, we know. In fact, the word conscience, con means with, science means knowledge, with knowledge, conscience. So every time we lie or steal or lust or get angry or whatever without cause, we know it's wrong. We know in our hearts it's wrong. And that's why no man will be with an excuse on the day they die and they stand before God. They can't say, oh, God, I'm so sorry. It was wrong. I didn't know it was wrong to lie. I didn't know it was wrong to steal. I didn't know it was wrong to do these things. No, we know right from wrong. Even in the deepest, most darkest jungles of Africa, people inherently know it's wrong to sleep with another man's wife. It's wrong to steal from your neighbor. It's wrong to kill somebody. In fact, people that live in a cannibalistic society have to be taught. They have to be brainwashed. Same thing we do with our soldiers, right? We train them. We send them to boot camp, and we take out. We kill the conscience, cremation of care, if you will. We kill the conscience so that then they can go and do the things that evil men do without having to be convicted by that conscience. So, yeah, your conscience is a good thing, and you ought to listen to it more often. If everybody would, maybe they'd be a little more kind.
Commandments, it's thou shalt not murder is the real, I mean, defending yourself is okay.
No. Self-defense is not murder. There's a big difference between thou shalt not kill, which is the most commonly way it's quoted.
And that's why defensive war is the only good war.
That's right. That's why our forefathers knew that. We were never to go out and invade other countries and station ourselves in those countries. No, if attacked, we had the proper right to defend ourselves and defend our liberty, our freedom, our country.
And then it feels good.
It does feel good.
But it would feel horrible to go out and just start bullying somebody.
No, and in fact, unless you're weak. You know, the biggest bullies in school are usually the biggest cowards. And once they get knocked down on their butt, they give up quickly. And it's the same thing with this very, very vocal minority within this country. If the majority, the people that outnumber, the people they're supposedly serving, would finally wake up, rise up, speak up, never shut up or give up, man, this whole country could change like that.
But the New World Order has been very good with all these glitter bug fake preachers to make everything look bad.
Hey, man, they just keep dangling stuff in front of the left hand. They know, Satan knows, his whole system has been set up on the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet. See, the first of all 10 commandments you always break is thou shalt not covet. Before you steal, you'll covet the item you take. Before you lie, you'll covet your own self-preservation and not paying the consequences of telling the truth and so on. We always covet first. We look at the neighbor's house, their car, their wife, their things. We say, I want that. And we'll sell our souls to get it. And the system knows that. Those who worship...
Well, I mean, I commit a lot of sins and I'm very worldly. But ever since I was a little kid, the one good thing I'm strong at is I don't covet. I'm not that envious of a person. You know, somebody's got a beautiful wife, girlfriend, nice house. I'm happy for them. I never realized how powerful coveting and envy was with the general public. They're like ravenous with it.
Well, and then it leads to idolatry, right? That's why, you know, American Idol's the number one show on television today, because they see that and say, I want that for me. I want to be the celebrity. I want to be the star. I want to be the center of attention. Me.
And to be clear, I'm not saying having nice things is bad. We're saying putting it up there as the idol, worshiping it.
It's okay to own stuff. Just don't let the stuff own you. There's a big difference between the two.
Exactly. Like, I wouldn't do anything immoral for something. I wouldn't cheat anyone for something. Like, I have all these enemies who I could destroy, who I know information about. And a few times, even trying to defend myself, I've almost burned them, and I can't make myself even do that. And I don't understand that rule where even though the worldly, it seems right, I just can't do it.
Well, it's funny you alluded to that, because that's exactly the culture that we're living in today. If it feels good, if it feels right, do it. It's okay. And that stems from Aleister Crowley's Book of the Law. The most wicked and evil man of his day said there's only one law, and it's polar opposite of God's law, and that's do what thou will. Do what thou will shall be the whole of the law. If you want to separate a country, a person from God, the fastest way to do it is to get them to do their own will. When you forget God's will for your life and for this world and for this planet, and you start to do your own will, do whatever you want to do, it'll ultimately lead to evil.
All right, I want to talk to Brad, Keith, Anthony, and John. Quick calls. But first, let's go to thegreatnews.com. And there is part of the video where Daryl calls the lady who, it turned out, has serious health problems, was going bankrupt. The computer randomly generates it. You have that on the screen.
And I want you to know something, too. I put her on the spot. I mean, right from the beginning, I'm like, okay, is this Beth? Okay, great. Here, this is Daryl with 10 and Win. We got to go. Are you ready? Go. So, you know, she didn't have time to pull out a list of the 10 commandments or, you know, something like that. I mean, I really got right to it right as soon as.
All right, here we go. Here's the video and audio of that.
Make sure,
Bring it up.
The real deal. No cuts. Here we go. Okay, we're recording. Yes, we are. We got Beth. Here we go. We're going to call her at 1-3-3.
You know, what's amazing is I get her answering machine first, and I start to leave her a message kind of taunting her, hey, you missed the call kind of thing, and she picks up.
So this is live, unedited, is why you hear the ringing. Here we go.
Yeah.
Couldn't think of a better person winning.
No. I prayed before we took this call, and God perfectly prepared this person. No two ways about it.
First call.
First.
And it's a lady who's
really needed.
Here we go.
Answering machine. Hi, Beth. This is Daryl Rundus with 10andwin.com. Today's the day we give away $20,000. I hate to tell you this, but I was calling to give you your chance to learn to list the law in order in 20 seconds or less.
Hello?
Hi, is Beth there?
Yes.
Hey, Beth. This is Daryl Rundus with 10 and Win. And I wanted to get you to learn or get to list the law in order in 20 seconds or less. Are you ready to go?
Oh, my gosh.
Ready?
Okay.
We got to go now. Set. Go.
No other gods before me. No idols. No blasphemy. Remember the Sabbath. Keep it holy. Honor your father and mother. Do not kill. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not lie. Do not covet.
Yay.
Now watch how I get her here.
Beth?
What?
Do you know how long that took?
I don't have any idea.
Yeah, it was less than 20 seconds, so you have to do it in 20 seconds. And you did it in 17. Congratulations, you won!
You're so mean.
No, I didn't kid you about anything like that.
Oh, she's just blown away.
You were the first person I called.
You got to be kidding me.
She's like speechless.
Beth, congratulations, $20,000. Let me ask you the obvious question. What are you going to do with the money?
Well, oh my goodness sakes, this is such an answer to prayer. I'm going to pay off credit cards. I'm going to buy me a car because, a used car. because our car just went out like 2 days ago, and I've been on the internet looking for trying to find something that we could afford.
Well, now you can afford up to $20,000 car. That is just wonderful.
That's amazing.
That's
and people can watch the full video at thegreatnews.com. And again, she has a serious medical problem.
Well, on the 10-minute version on our site there, it doesn't go into all that. But then right below the video, there's a place to download the full unedited extended version where you get to all the behind-the-scenes stuff, a lot more conversation with her after she had won the money and so on. So,
but she has, what does she have?
Multiple sclerosis. And what was even...
But see, that is a perfect person to get the $20,000.
Well, not just that, Alex, but you know what she did? She did what I originally intended this to be all about, which was a way for people that might be filled with fear to get up and to go out and to start talking to people about the things of God. She made her own little billboard up that said, name 10, win 20,000, and she would get people over and talk to them about the commandments and then the things of God, how we'd all broken those commandments, but that God loved us so much, he sent his son to die.
And then she won after that?
Yeah, and so Sherry, she's doing all this stuff. She's paying it forward. She's not coveting the cash. She's out there using it as a way to minister to other people and to talk to other people and to pay it forward. And God blessed her faithfulness by having her win the money. Unbelievable. And that's hey, we serve a mighty God. And that's
why. That's almost like the widow's mite story.
Absolutely. She gave all she had. She was down to the very little bit. And I guarantee you, the $20,000 I gave wasn't even close to all that she gave.
Well, that almost makes me cry, Daryl. I've got tears in my
eyes.
Yeah,
it touches me too. And that's
But I'm glad that, I mean, the hundreds of people called and signed up for it, right?
Thousands. Yeah, thousands.
And then the first call.
The very first one.
Is a lady who really, really needs it.
Yep. And she almost didn't get it because I got the answering machine. How about that? Isn't that amazing? I just love it. God works in amazing ways.
All right, we're going to take a few final calls from at least Brad and Keith and Anthony in the final segment. Daryl Rundis here with us. Always great to have him in studio. And we just really, really appreciate the great work you're doing, Daryl, and the support you've given our operation as well. Stay with us.
Well, I'm not the kind to kiss and tell, but I've been seen with Farrah. I've never been with anything less than a nine. So fine, I've been on fire with...
Well, Daryl, this hour has blasted past us, and it's always wonderful to have you in studio with us. And
on your show, or women, or... You know,
oh, come on. Knock it off. Stop it.
Ron Paul, Jesse Ventura, Charlie Sheen. I mean, come on.
By the way, because people just joined us, Charlie couldn't come on today. He called me this morning. I just got another email from him. He was super sick. He apologized to the winner of 20 Minutes with the President. He just said, just got up. This is the newest one. Just came in 10 minutes ago. And it says, so sorry. He said, I've been feeling really bad the last few days, particularly this morning. Sunday is a lot better than Monday. I'll call you after show. So Sunday he's probably on. He's always been on when he said he'd be on. I mean, I talked to him this morning. He was just, I got a message at 5 a.m. his time. He was just like, dude, I can barely get out of bed. I don't know if I can do it. And so,
hey, Alex, can I do something? I know we only...
That was like you couldn't have your contest when your wife's appendix burst.
That's it. You know, hey, things happen, but God works all things together for the good. I know that. I've come to see it. But, hey, we got 5 minutes left. I know you promised you'd take some calls. But, man, before we go, I want to ask you a favor. Just on air, because nobody...
We'll do 5 minutes of overdrive so we can take these calls. The problem is they're with Genesis, though.
Okay, take the calls, and then if you'll stick around for 5 minutes after, I'm going to pray for Alex live on air.
Okay, well, and we'll do that in the overdrive. We'll do that in the overdrive, Infowars.com, on the audio streams. You got to go to those streams to hear it, or PrisonPlanet.tv. Brad in Canada, you're on the air. Go ahead, Brad.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. First of all, Alex, Fall of the Republics is a masterpiece, buddy, just a masterpiece. And, Daryl, I got to salute you, buddy. That was unbelievable. I got shivers up my spine listening to that.
Well, praise God.
I did, too, because it was so real.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Thank God, really. It's his money. I just get the privilege of spending it.
Absolutely. Well, there's not a heck of a lot of talk up here in Canada about the fraud of the emails. So I started really hammering the talk radio stations today. And I don't know what's going on down there, but I just find more and more, they amaze me. I mean, there's a saying that people sometimes stumble across the truth but pick themselves up as if nothing ever happened. It seems like
More than that, they love the lie. They giggle themselves about being deceived and hurt. Yeah, they revel in it. I don't know why. It's a spirit.
Well, Tammy and I were talking about that on the drive down, that in 2 Thessalonians, and if you, I don't care if you're Christian or not, go read it for yourself. It's a perfect description of what we're seeing, that God pours out a great cup of delusion that people may believe the lie. And that's what we see. People are just delusional. When you give them the cold, hard facts, the truth.
The world government is being announced by the world government.
I mean, we got Gordon Brown in front of Congress a few months ago talking about a world government. Now is the best time ever to implement this world government. People are ready for it. And then you mention it to people, they don't even want to hear about it. They don't even want to know. They're blissfully ignorant.
Well, that's a great point. So, like, when you call Canadian radio, they just say it doesn't exist? Or what's happening?
Well, one of the hosts down here in the Toronto station, he's pretty good, and he's been a skeptic of the whole thing. As a matter of fact, he had David Suzuki on his station, and when Suzuki was asked what he thought about the fact that the science wasn't complete, Suzuki got up and left the studio. So, I mean, it just shows what an ass.
Yeah, they
is.
Boycott any questioning. Suzuki calls us maggots that have to be dealt with. Human life is maggots. No, he's a maggot.
Well, you know what? If people would just look at their actions instead of listening to their actions would speak so loudly people wouldn't hear what they say. Because it's just like being a kid when you don't get your way. I'm going to go home. I'm going to take my toys. I don't want to play with you anymore because you don't want to play by my rules. And that's what they do. Well,
Brad, we're out of time, and I apologize to Keith, Anthony, John. You know what? If just these callers want to call 888-201-2244, 888-201-2244, we'll do 10 minutes of overdrive. But I got to get home and take care of my wife because she's sick. And I wanted to hang out, Daryl. Hopefully she's going to get better soon. I'm going to bring her some colloidal silver home. Like, I've been drinking this right here the last 2 days. Knocked it out for me. No kidding. It really has. I was like sipping this earlier. In fact, I'm going to have some right now. Retransmission starts now. Great job, crew. We have unbelievable guests coming up. So stay with us on that as well. Going into overdrive right now, InfoWars.com.